Mr. President, let me begin by stating for the record and for my colleagues that this debate is not about support for the troops or support for their extraordinary work on the ground in Iraq. Our troops, the best fighting force in the history of the world, have performed admirably, honorably, and successfully under extreme, unusual, and dangerous conditions in Iraq. We're not here today to besmirch their efforts, their work, or their sacrifice. To indicate otherwise is disingenuous and out of line. This is not the time or the place for political attacks. The President even made an offer to Congress before a nationally televised audience on January 10th that if members, quote, if members have improvements that can be made, we will make them, end the quote. This is a debate about a serious topic. What is the way forward in Iraq? How can we achieve a political solution without the additional loss of American lives? One of my colleagues has said over and over, this comes down to if you support an escalation or not, and the American people deserve this debate. For me, the question is, will the Senate lead? Will the Senate express its opposition to the surge? I know that many don't think passing a non-binding resolution is leading, and I know others say the resolution goes too far. I say that on an issue of this magnitude, an issue this important, it's critical for the Senate to speak with the strongest voice possible. Generating a revised resolution with broader appeal was putting our best foot forward in securing the strongest bipartisan vote possible. I am proud to have worked with my colleague, Senator Warner, the most recent past chairman of the Armed Services Committee, and our colleague, Senator Collins of Maine, in this cause. They've both shown tremendous leadership on this issue, as has Senator Levin, Senator Biden, Senator Hagel. But it seems that even when it comes to the lives of our troops, partisanship prevails. Here we are, after weeks of negotiations, after weeks of public proclamations, after weeks of consideration, we're about to witness the minority choose politics over progress. And this is after we revised our original resolution to address some of the concerns that were raised by both Democrats and Republicans. It's important that we point out that this is not simply about being opposed to a surge, it's about opposition to a surge to do what? To go into Baghdad, to go into the midst of sectarian violence, civil war, criminality. There is no opposition to continuing to support troops in Al-Anbar and even an increase in the troops to fight the bad guys in that location. But that is altogether different from going into Baghdad, where our troops will be expected to be on the point and in harm's way in the midst of sectarian violence that is unparalleled across our great world today, but in strong support of Iraq. We must, in fact, do what we can to support Iraq, but without putting our troops in the midst of that cauldron. Now, the Baker-Hamilton report made things very clear, and we've established benchmarks as well, that we should empower the Iraqi government to be able to do what it can to quell its own violence. We cannot win their civil war. We cannot stop the violence in Baghdad. Only a political solution achieved by the Iraqis will be able to do that. So, Mr. President, if we're to do our duty, if we're to exhibit leadership, let us begin by allowing a full debate on the resolutions we have pending. Let's talk about the President's plan to deploy American troops to the crossroads of civil war in Iraq. Let's talk about holding the Iraqi government accountable for its responsibilities. I'm prepared to defend the resolution that I've offered with Senators Warner, Collins, and Levin. I'm prepared to vote on the McCain resolution, and I'm prepared for the debate because its time has come. So I ask my colleagues, if not now, when? If not now, do we wait for more troops to die before we oppose the President's plan? If not now, do we wait for more violence, more unrest, more danger for our troops before we act? Some have said the President deserves one last chance to succeed. How do we ask our troops to do again what has failed in the past? We've had other surges that have not succeeded for a variety of reasons, not the least of which the Iraqis have not shown up. So what's different this time? I hope that we don't look at this as our last hurrah.